You just gave Chris double duty tonight, where he finished up with the perfect invitation that you could ever offer. The end of the parable with that last verse, verse 13 of chapter 25, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor hour which the Son of Man is coming." Something that we all need to have on our minds. That's where we hope to end up with here, in just a minute. Do you think God means what He says? That's what Christ said. We just read that verse. Do you think He means what He says? I wonder sometimes, don't you? When you see the world around us, and even those who claim to know God and claim to know His Word, you look at their actions and you watch what they do. And it makes you wonder, do they really believe what they know? Makes you think, don't it? Our actions speak a lot louder than our words do. You know, think back. God told His people in times past a lot of things to do that made absolutely no sense whatsoever to the mortal man. He gave them commands. They were expected to work them out. They were expected to obey in detail, even though they didn't understand or had no clue about why things were done the way they were, other than God said to do it that way. We've got to be confident in our Creator and are willing to serve Him even in those small details, even in those things that we don't understand that makes no sense to us, because we fall into the trap of letting human reasoning come into play. And when we compare that to God's Word, that's when we start having problems, because it will sway us and guide us wrong. Every opportunity that we let slip by us, and for every doubt we let, it hinders our obedience with God. We need to be very, very obedient to Him. Rewarded disobedience. That sounds ironic, doesn't it? Rewarded disobedience. God does reward disobedience. It's called discipline, but He does reward it. You think about the Israelites, Jonah, Lot's wife would be another good example. They were commanded to do something, yet they did what they wanted instead of what God asked. May it not have made a lot of sense to Lot's wife about looking back. What's the big deal with looking back? Well, it made a big deal, didn't it? And Jonah, we see Jonah, a man with the ability. God chose him for a job to go to Nineveh. He didn't refuse to go to Nineveh because he was afraid, which would have been an understandable excuse in the human world, it being the capital of Assyria, a very violent, world-known, heathen, barbaric country. Fear's not what kept him from going. He just didn't want to go. His actions told on him later on when he went, after he tried to get out of it. He didn't want the people. He didn't think they deserved to be saved. That's why he didn't want to go. God's willing to teach us a lesson the hard way if that's what it takes to get to us. And the history tells us that. Psalms 7 verse 11 reminds us that God is a just judge, and He's angry with the wicked every day, it says. But He's a just God. That really puts things out of man's perspective sometimes, because man is not just always. He doesn't always think as God does. That's why the rain falls on the just and the unjust. That's why good and bad things happen to all of us. That just factor of God's character comes into play, and He can't veer from that right or left. He won't veer from that right or left. Punishment can come, though, to those who wait to obey or don't obey. Do you believe what He says? Even the small details. I saw this in an article. That's what I was going by here tonight. In Exodus 29 and 20, I was reminded of Aaron and his sons when God consecrated them for their duty as priests. They had to go through some things that made absolutely no sense to man whatsoever. If you read some of those It sounds like take the blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and on the tip of the right ear of his sons and on the thumb of their right hand and on the big toe of their right foot. If they hadn't have done this, God would have never consecrated them. But to them, that had to have sounded totally foreign to them, of going through a ritual like that. Even though it seems silly and we don't understand, we have to do exactly what he says, just like they had to do. They had to do exactly as he said. It's a matter of complete obedience. You think the walls of Jericho would have failed if they decided they didn't need to go seven times around? We've seen what we needed to see in just a few, or six circles. No. God is a God of detail. He notices the tiny. He notices everything. And it's important that just as Moses was warned time and time again, you be careful that you follow the pattern that I gave you. He told Joshua in Joshua 1 when they were preparing to take their promised land the second time, you do all that it says. You don't turn to the right or to the left and do all of God's law. That's important to God. You see this worldly attitude that comes in much of the religious world. This attitude that they want to put on us is just get the big picture. God is love, and as long as we're serving God, you know, God loves us. He knows us. You hear things like let's look at the man and not the plan. You know, that's just a way to cut out the details, cut out the fine things that God wanted us. They want to fall back on general principles only and get rid of the details and get rid of the things that we really need to do. But just doing the least amount possible, which is what that allows, and just doing the things that are easy or good isn't enough, and it's not what God is looking for. Rewarded obedience. Only by discipline is disobedience rewarded. It would be foolish for us to think that we're going to get to heaven by doing whatever we want to do. Nothing in God's character, if we go back through the Romans 15:4, the things that were written aforetime, when we go back through there and we read those, and Lord willing, next quarter, we're going to go and look at some minor prophets and some prophet stuff, because I think that would be great to do. But for us to think that God's character accepts or is changed is totally on us, because God is clear. He does not change. He is the rock that never changes. We can't do whatever we want to do. It requires a lot more of us in obedience and satisfying our God than just doing the least that we can get away with or the least that we have to, which is what the religious world attracts man with. He attracts man, Satan does, through those, remember, the rudiments, the basic principles. That's what appeals to him. Rest, ease, convenience, things like that. We have to work. We're a chosen priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9. We need to do that. And that requires of us to be sowers of the seed. We got to be sowers. I don't care if you're an individual who never teaches a class or does anything else. You sow the seed by the way that you live. But each and every one of us need to be working toward being able to sow the seed, to answer questions, to be examples to those that are around us. When we go with this minimalist attitude, our weakness not only hurts us, but it hurts the whole congregation, because we should be growing to the point that we help others along. And when we fail to do that, we're not benefiting our brothers and sisters. We're not helping them, not to mention our own end that we're going to meet. Most importantly, though, the first step tonight, if you're here and you've never been baptized by Christ, before you can grow into that position of help for your brothers and sisters, that example that we've talked about, you have to submit in obedience to Christ. It's the only way you're going to be part of this priesthood. We're told, Galatians 3:27, that we're baptized into Christ. That's your first step. If you know, if you've heard and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you're willing to confess that, Matthew 10:31, 32, 33, if you're willing to do that and repent, turn from your way, because you have to, Luke 13:3, we can baptize you. We'll make arrangements. We may not have water now, but we'll make arrangements. It will happen. And that's when your sins are forgiven. You have the remission of your sins. You're baptized into Christ, into the church, into the kingdom. You're the beneficiary of all the things that we talk about. But that's the first step. After that, we have to live like we just talked about, believing what God says, taking Him for His word and His details. God means what He says. If there's any way we can help you tonight, if you just need encouragement or whatever, please make your way forward as we stand and as we sing.